trying to educate people about the environmental fraud, about Agenda 21. How about a small group of people using the myth of the environmental crisis, are using it to centralize all power in Washington, D.C., on the path to a dictatorship? Now, of course, his most recent book, Fixing a Broken America, goes into the background of really what's going on, the philosophy behind the things that are going on, and then who is really behind it. And, of course, everybody writes books about, oh, they tell you everything's bad, but they never tell you who's really manipulating this whole thing. And the three points of the book, what the problem is, who's behind it, and what to do. And the second, middle part of the book is, of course, what intrigues me, because Michael has done a great job of laying out the background of this small group of wealthy and powerful people who want to change America. They're subversive organizations. They have a different agenda. They want to destroy the sovereignty of our nation and certainly enslave our people. But the average individual really will never hear about it, because Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck are not going to tell you. Maybe they'd like to. Maybe they can't. Maybe they don't know. But when you read this book, you're going to have an excellent grasp of what's going on. It's an excellent book. Thanks very much for being with us this late at night, Michael.
Well, thank you, Stan. I'm glad to be with you.
Well, I know it's late back there, but thanks for being with us, because this is a great listening audience. So why don't you just go ahead and pick up the story about your book and how you wrote it, and certainly what you're trying to tell our listeners, and then who's behind it, and then what we can do. I'll let you just go point by point.
That sounds good. It started actually 20 years ago when I was leading a multi-million-dollar research effort on global warming and acid rain, and realized that there really wasn't any scientific evidence to back up really either claim, but especially global warming. And so I began to investigate what in the world was going on. Why was so much money? We're spending billions of dollars a year on a phantom problem. And I realized it was part of a massive agenda, basically to create a world government, ultimately in the long run. And so I did more research, realized what was happening, quit my job, and started to really try to help people understand what is happening. And that led me to writing this book, actually back in the early 2000s. And really, it was over 1,000 pages long. It was too long for a book. I put it aside, and then during the Obama administration, it hit me right between the eyes. What we're seeing in the Obama administration is the end game of what they're trying to do. And so I took my former 1,000-page book, condensed it down to about 220 pages, lightened it up a little bit so it's an easy read, and that's where we are right now. It is really an effort to try to help people understand why we're so deeply divided in this country, because it's deliberately being done. We are deeply divided. It was predicted it was going to happen by our founding fathers, and we are now in that position where we're very close to losing our Constitution.
And people have to understand that the philosophies, everybody's being manipulated. People have to be able to think independently. Go right ahead.
Absolutely. It is one of those issues where what I've done is I've taken two philosophies, the John Locke philosophy and the Jean Rousseau philosophy of France, and contrasted them and showed exactly what is happening and why we are really changed from our constitutional perspective into a state has all power over the citizens.
Hold that thought. It's either freedom or slavery. Which do you
Absolutely.
Want? We'll be right back. Go right ahead, Michael.
If you look at the writings of John Locke, what you find basically is that the founding fathers used his writings tremendously in writing the Declaration of Independence. The principles that he, in fact, some of it's verbatim. And some of the Constitution, or all of the Constitution, is based on the principles that the individual is the sovereign over the government. It's very important for us to realize that. We have God-given unalienable rights by nature's law. And what has been happening for well over 100 years is that there's a group of people, primarily international financiers, but it's grown beyond that at this particular point in time, that have been attempting to basically create a world government subvert the Constitution of the United States, and the only way they can do that is to take up another philosophy basically espoused by Jean-Jacques Rousseau. And Rousseau's model is where the government has sovereignty over the individual. And that's what we've been gradually doing. We're seeing it now in spades with the Obama administration and the present Congress. That is the end game. We've been actually doing it for well over 100 years, especially the last 50 years, but now it's very blatantly obvious. And what we're seeing is the last gasp of our Constitution. It's not too late. I'm convinced of that. I think we can take back our constitutional republic, but it's got to start with this coming November election, because if we do not stop the forward momentum of this juggernaut that's coming down on us like ugly on an ape, it's really going to be almost too late. I think we have 2012. If we can at least stop the forward momentum in 2010, 2012, maybe we can actually get some people in Congress and our state governments and local governments that will actually understand why the founders wrote the Constitution the way they did. It was not a living document that's supposed to change over time. It is basically a document that is to prevent human nature from grasping at control. And most people don't understand that. We've been listening now for over 20 years that the government must be made more efficient. Well, folks, the only way that we can make the government more efficient is to take your liberties away from you, because the government has to tell you what to do in order for it to be efficient. And we have seen our liberties go out the window time after time after time over the last 50 years, especially the last 20 to 30 years, and especially the last year and a half. And what we need to do is to start to reverse that process. Now, the current slate of congressmen and senators and so forth...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Well, yeah, this is Dr. Stan, and Michael was just saying there are two basic philosophies. There's one of the philosophies of John Locke, who lived in the 1600s. He was an Englishman. He wrote about nature's God and nature's law, and that was the basis of man's freedom, and because God gave people freedom. And the Declaration of Independence, basically the whole concept of America was based upon the fact that men were free because God had made them free, and then governments were constituted among men to maintain those freedoms. The other philosophy was that of Jean-Jacques Rousseau, a French philosopher, who believed that the state had to be sovereign. After all, it had to rectify the injustices of society. And Michael points out that when Rousseau was writing, of course, you had a French aristocracy who abused the system, and so there had to be some means of restricting the aristocracy and as it existed in France, and that's why he wanted an all-powerful government. The difficulty is that we seem to be moving in that direction because there's a small group of people, and originally, of course, they were primarily the international financiers, but now it's expanded far beyond that, and these people are working together in a coordinated way to centralize all power in Washington, D.C., and under one guise or another, maybe the danger, the threat of the environment. We just got to give the government more power to correct the problem, and you pick up the story, Michael.
Well, you're absolutely correct. And it's really ironical that after Jefferson had seen what France had done in his French Revolution, he was all in favor of the French Revolution initially, until he saw how they were establishing their government, and then he was horrified. In fact, Patrick Henry was so mortified by what they were doing that he almost got beheaded over in France because he spoke out so strongly against the government and the fact that they were imposing this Rousseau model of government on the people, which they knew was going to be result in tyranny. And he said, Jefferson said, after he returned from France after being the ambassador, that he says when all government is returned to Washington or comes to Washington as the center of all government, the government will become as venal and as oppressive as the one from which we have just separated, i.e. the Revolutionary War. And that is really what's happened. Over time, you have this group of people, these international financiers and what I call the global cartel, is basically taking over and gradually changing things so that the government becomes all-powerful, and they're using the progressive liberals as useful idiots. Now, I don't necessarily say that in a derogatory manner, because these people are usually very bright and intelligent and so forth. It's just that their worldview, their ideas of what should be and should not be, just fit so well with being manipulated by this group of people that they're willing to do almost anything that these global elites want them to do in the name of social justice, in the name of environmental justice, in the name of positive rights, in the name of, you name it, I discuss it in the book. It is all very well laid out, and these people fall for it hook, line, and sinker. And we are at that point now where if we don't stop it, as I said earlier, it's going to be too late.
And I agree with you, and yours, you've done a great job of simply laying out the philosophy. Do we want an all-powerful government, or do we want a limited government where men could be free? An all-powerful government, why the government tells you what to do, regulates you, taxes you, regiments you, but with a free society, why, of course, then men can do what they want to as long as they're not interfering with other people's rights. And, of course, this is a productive society. A controlled society is not a productive society, or the trains may run on time as they did under Benito Mussolini, but at what price in human suffering? Yeah. Certainly the government under Adolf Hitler was a very efficient government, but what was the price that the people of Germany paid? I was in Germany following the Second World War. I saw the cities, every place I looked, rubble. And could that happen to America? We've given all power to our government, or we've allowed them to go off on all sorts of unnecessary wars, killing people throughout the world in the name of bringing freedom and democracy to people in other nations. I wonder how many people who've lost their wife or their husband or their children, you know, in Afghanistan and Iraq really feel that bringing democracy has been that important. But go right ahead.
You're absolutely right. A democracy, in fact, we need to understand, if you don't already, and I think most of your listening audience does, that we're not a democracy. We're a Republican form of government. We have a Republican constitution that really, the rule of law judges us, guides us. We have a division of power to make the government weak. That was deliberately designed to be weak by our founding fathers, because they knew a powerful government would abuse its powers, just as we're seeing right now, and they tried to set up a system that would keep it as weak as possible by dividing the powers between the legislative, executive, and judicial branches, and then the federal, state, and local level. You can't get much more weaker than that, but those people who want all power have gradually drawn power to Washington, D.C., just as Jefferson warned that would happen. And we now have this monster on our backs that we need to stop. And it's basically taken several different ways of being able to take over our culture. It's taken over our educational system. The political correctness that we've seen since the 1960s wasn't by accident. It was created deliberately to keep people in line, through social political correctness. If you basically do something that's not politically correct, you're chastised, you're basically tarred and feathered and run out of town, as it were. And they have literally kept us from speaking out our minds on so many different things, and that was one of the ways they planned to do it. Another was not only the education, but the education of our journalistic schools. You have now automatons coming out of journalism schools that have not a clue about real journalism, and really the only thing that they understand is active journalism or active media, so that they have a proactive approach on what they write supposedly as news. It's called bias. It's hugely biased. I think most of you understand that. I give examples in the book and show very clearly that the mainstream media is so biased that it's really questionable if you can trust any news that most of the mainstream media comes out with. Our judicial system, same thing. Our law schools and so forth have been so corrupted. You know, the average amount of time that a lawyer spends on constitutional law is probably about 2 weeks in one course in their four-year curricula. They have basically no understanding of our Constitution whatsoever, why the founders wrote it, what they intended, why they wanted it to protect people, and so forth. and they have been duped into thinking that we need to have case law decide matters rather than constitutional law. So we're no longer really ruled by the rule of law as it was originally intended. We are basically now to that point where if some organization can convince some judge somewhere that they can go out and murder someone justifiably, then that becomes the state of law. I'm using an extreme example in this particular case, and it doesn't happen yet, but it will, and there's no doubt about it, is progressing in that particular way where sooner or later there's going to be a situation where you're justified in killing someone else.
Well, of course, we've already seen that in Roe versus Wade. Many people feel that we've killed probably 50 million unborn children because the Supreme Court's found a constitutional right in the Constitution, and there isn't any. This was a political decision made because of population control, what efficient means of it destroying, limiting the population. The problem is, though, that then who's going to come into the workforce? Who's going to look after the elderly? Who's going to pay into the Social Security and Medicare? So the way of solving the problem of population excess, why they've created even a greater problem, and that is that you have no young people or very few young people coming in, and you have all the older people retired now, and they've run out of money for Medicare and Social Security, and between man's plan in time and God's plan in eternity, there truly is an infinite quality of difference. Men have made an awful mess of things. Go right ahead, Michael.
You're absolutely right, and the whole social system that was created by Roosevelt initially and then advanced by Johnson and now is taking a leap with Obama is bankrupt, as you just said. We have $106 trillion of unfunded commitments that we have for Social Security, welfare, Medicaid, Medicare, and so forth. There is no way that we can pay it. None. No way at all, period. We are technically bankrupt, and yet we continue to go on blindly saying, well, things are not so bad and so forth. It's this whole progressive mentality, this Rousseau mentality that I was talking about a little while ago that has gotten us into this particular position. Everything that we're seeing right now wrong with the country is because of this particular agenda over the last 100 years. And I'm convinced, and I discuss it in the book, I am pretty well convinced that they intend to collapse the U.S. economy entirely in order to get us to join an international world government of some sort. They won't call us that, of course. Right now they're calling it global governance. That name may not even stay permanently, but it will be a world government of some sort or another because they'll have to come rescuing the whole world now because of the whole huge financial collapse of everything. And we have so much debt now. The $13.6 trillion debt is just a drop in the bucket. We have a $1.3 trillion deficit just in this calendar year.
And, of course, it's only going to get worse, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to continue fighting wars. We're going to continue running the debt up further and further. And, of course, they're going to do what do you do? And when nobody will buy your debt, why, then you print money. They call it quantitative easing. They call it monetization, but we really should call it Weimarization, talking about what happened in the Weimar Republic, or Zimbabweization. What happened, of course, in Zimbabwe when they did exactly the same thing we're doing here and destroyed the value of the currency. Could that really happen in the United States? Ladies and gentlemen, there are people who want to destroy this nation. They control the wealth, the power of this nation, and they're well on the way to accomplishing their goal. Well, Michael, you go right ahead with the story.
Well, the next level is the whole attack on private property rights. They have the judicial system, the government system, the educational system pretty well locked down now, except...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
But you can own a forest, but you can't lumber it. Why, my goodness, there might be an owl there, you know, an endangered owl. Of course, it's all a lie, but a lie told often enough, people believe. And, oh, you have a stream on your property. You can't do anything close to that. You have a little wet patch. It may be only wet maybe 3 weeks out of the year, but you can't use your property at all. You can't do anything with that property because it is wetlands. It's under the control of the federal government. And all of these things progressively expanding control over private property. You must understand, ladies and gentlemen, these wicked people know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to know, and they keep you entertained with football and basketball and Whitney Spears and something with the Tiger Woods and all of these diversionary things. But the really important issues you don't understand. There is a group of very powerful and wealthy people who want to destroy freedom, control property, control the individual. Go right ahead, Michael.
Actually, it's very interesting. In my book, and I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's a couple paragraphs long, and that's the worst thing you can do over a radio interview is to read a paragraph. But there is a document it was created back in the late 1970s called D-Step. And basically, it was the I'll leave you the title of it, the Behavioral Science Teacher Education Program, funded by the major institutions in the United States, including the U.S. government. And it was to be the model of where we're going in the future with education and the ability to control, you heard me right, control the population. And in that particular document, it talks about the fact of having the pleasures of life and so forth to keep everybody diverted from the real important things, to have a managerial group of people that run the country that the common person doesn't have to understand what's going on. It'll all be done for them. This is exactly the society we see in 2010, and this was written back in the late 1970s. It's in the book. It's well worth reading just from that standpoint alone. It's astonishing what they were planning, and they said they can do it, and they did do it. It's amazing. The only thing that's standing in their way right now is the average citizen waking up and realizing they've been taken to the cleaners and want to do something about it, because it's critically important at this point that that happens. I left off before talking about the creation of Nelson Rockefeller, Governor Rockefeller of New York, creating what's called the Adirondack Park Agency. Most of you don't know it unless you happen to live in New York, that the Adirondack State Park is about 5 or 6 million acres. About 60% of it's privately held. And in that, they wanted to preserve the character and the wilderness values of the Adirondack State Park. So what they did in this Adirondack State Park Agency bill passed in 1971 was to establish an agency that had absolute control over what you did on your private property within the boundaries of that park. It's the most astonishing thing. It's the most anti-American effort ever done. But Rockefeller, the Rockefeller family, was able to put this in, and it worked beautifully. The Adirondack people fought back for about 10 or 15 years until they were just beaten right into the ground. If you drive through the Adirondack State Park today, you will basically be driving through the 1950s and 1960s. It's that dramatic. It is unbelievable when you drive through that. It looks great to somebody coming out of New York City and so forth. It's wonderful, this pastoral setting and so forth, but there is no innovation. There's no life in these communities and so forth that are controlled. In the larger towns and so forth, they do have the ability to, you know, they have modern buildings and so forth. But everywhere else where this park agency has control, it's like walking back in the 1950s and 60s. It's just horrifying. And they've taken that template. They put it into the Columbia River Gorge process. Same thing's going on there. Unless, of course, you have a lot of money. If you're a green environmentalist, you have a lot of money, you can pretty much do whatever you want to. And then they put it into Agenda 21, and we can talk about Agenda 21 after this short break.
And, of course, you find these people of great wealth. The largest property owner in the United States is Ted Turner, and he pushes all of this, you know, to control other people's property so that they can't develop their property, so they can't develop the timber on their property. But do you think for 1 minute that Ted Turner and the other multi-billionaires who are involved in this is going to restrict their freedom? Of course not. Because they have, of course, total contempt for us common people. You know, the sort of people who would have voted for Barry Goldwater. That was Professor Quigley's phrase. They voted for Barry Goldwater, but they wanted to be free, and they don't understand. The elite must rule, and that's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Stan, you go right ahead, Michael.
Well, the whole effort has become global in nature through Agenda 21. and Agenda 21, they could never get any land use planning through the Congress. I would not necessarily say that's true today. They're doing some things today. But what they have done is gone up to the international level. They have put the Adirondack Park template at the international level in what's called Agenda 21. It's a 40-chapter document by the United Nations that literally lays out a plan to protect the environment by controlling every single human activity. And I'm not kidding. It is really that bad. In fact, I cannot overstate how dramatic this whole concept, they call it sustainable development. And we have now in legislation, living communities by Dodd and Barney Frank, and it is right out of Agenda 21. It's the worst, $4 billion a year is going to go into planning efforts in local communities to make their so-called communities livable. And what they're doing is they're basing it on this whole concept of sustainable development as framed in Agenda 21. It is diabolical in nature, folks. We have to get rid of these people in Congress. We just cannot let them go for another 4 years, either 2 years, 4 years, or 6 years. They have to be cleaned out, and we have to replace them with people who understand the principles behind the Constitution, not just the Constitution, but the principles behind the Constitution, because we're very close now. We're very close to losing our liberties. And this is basically our last hope, is stopping this agenda in the 2010 election and then beginning to roll it back in the 2012 election. I can't overstate that, so it is so critically important that you understand that we need to get involved politically at this particular point in time, because we're in the last throes of our constitutional protection. I think by 2012, if we do not stop it by that time, it's going to be too late.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Michael is just saying that these people, they want a dictatorship. If we don't really change things in this coming election, November, and then begin to roll this back in 2012, you can forget about America. Because through this massive bureaucracy, the fact that they have the ability to monitor everything you do, certainly they are watching you with television cameras, they basically can listen to your cell phone even when it's turned off. They can know exactly where you are. They can follow your car with GPS monitoring. They can certainly watch you from the satellite. If you don't understand that this is all part of this program. But, oh, of course, we have to have all of these things to protect you from the wicked Osama bin Laden, who's plotting to take away your freedom, living over there in a cave in Pakistan. And so that's why we've got to have all this regulation and listening to all of your telephone calls through Project Echelon, E-C-H-E-L-O-N. They listen to all of your telephone calls. They record all of your emails. They record all of your faxes. And they're all kept electronically, gone over by computer. But you can check this out. You don't have to believe anything we say. Check it out. Well, before we go on, of course, Michael's written a wonderful book. A lot of liberals have read this book and have become much more conservative. They begin to understand they are many times backing the very people that they oppose, not realizing, of course, how they've been manipulated. Well, Michael, I want you, first of all, to tell people how they can get certainly to your website. Now, we carry the book. And
yes.
Once again, the title is, what, Fixing a Broken America?
No, it's Rescuing a Broken America.
Rescuing a Broken America. We carry the book, and we've read it, and we certainly think it's a great book. How can people, though, get to your website and get
your
information?
Okay, it's on your website to start with, but you can also find out more about the book by going to its own website called RescuingAmericaBook.com. RescuingAmericaBook.com. And if you type, you'll find all kinds of information on that about the book that will help you to basically get a pretty clear idea of what the book contents are and so forth. In fact, I even have the first chapter available for you to read on the internet site.
All right, fine. Well, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's an excellent book. Now, in the second part, you get into who is really behind this. I mean, oh, my goodness, you know, they're trying to tell us Barack Obama is behind everything going on. I mean, Barack Obama is a Marxist or a communist, or he's a Muslim, or he's gay, or he isn't entitled to be president. And, ladies and gentlemen, you're being manipulated. What they want you to do is make you think that Barack Obama is really responsible for what's going on. He's simply a figurehead for the people who put him in power. And until you understand that, just as George Bush was a figurehead, just as Bill Clinton was a figurehead, they're all figureheads because there's the power behind them. So what is that power?
That power is a very, very powerful group of people, financiers. We discussed, they were touched on them in the past half an hour in this discussion. People don't understand how powerful they are. I've run into this a little bit in my career and have literally been amazed at how powerful these people are. So far, I've been able to stay out of their gun sights. I don't know how long that's going to last. But nonetheless, they are as about as powerful as you can imagine. If they want to see something happen, it will happen. If they want to see a financial collapse, we'll have a financial collapse. In fact, I wrote an article, Stan, quite a few years ago that basically said that they could pull the plug on our economy anytime that they wanted to, and then proceeded to explain why. And they chose September 15th, 2008. Why it was September 15th? Because it was a month and a half from the elections, and they wanted to make sure President Obama was elected because he was trailing McCain at that particular point in time. And they had to do something to literally change the dynamics of the election, and that's exactly what happened.
And you want to tell them what happened on this September 15th? Most people don't even remember.
It basically was when all the... In fact, I have been watching this thing for 6 months happen. There was about 300 or 400 banks that were about... There was imminent failure. And there was no way that the federal government could ever stop it. And it was just a matter of when that plug was pulled. And they managed to stave it off until the middle of September. And they pulled the plug, and all of a sudden, all of these investment firms and so forth started going down like dominoes. The stock market almost cut in half within a few weeks. And we really were facing a financial meltdown at that particular point in time.
And that was the day that they toppled intentionally, willfully, purposely. They put a run on the Lehman Bank. All the establishment started pulling their money out of it, and Lehman Brothers went down, and they wanted it to go down. They pushed it down. Why? To create a crisis, because they wanted to get Obama elected. Now, not that they didn't control McCain, because he's an unscrupulous villain, if there ever was one. He betrayed his fellow prisoners of war. They hated him. Most of the men who served over there knew that he had actually made propaganda films for the North Vietnamese, but of course you'll never hear about that on the controlled media. So you had a choice between the most liberal Republican and the most liberal Democrat senator in the United States Senate. Which one do you want, the liberal Republican or the liberal Democrat? Well, they wanted Obama, and we got him, but this is exactly right. They precipitated this financial crisis. They're maintaining this financial crisis. The banks have lots of money, but they're all in on the scam, and they're not lending it. That's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. Go right ahead, Michael.
So you're absolutely correct. And, of course, they have done this kind of thing many times before. In fact, there is a very good verifiable story in which Englishman Churchill was taken into the stock market on April 15th, was it, 1929, the day that they collapsed the economic...
Well, it would be in October.
October, not April, October. And was told it was going to happen, and he saw it happen. These people are very, very powerful. They can create these kinds of things anytime they want to. And the interesting thing, and we've talked about this before, Stan, in Tragedy and Hope, Carol Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, was published in 1967. He said that there is this conspiracy, basically, to by these global financiers, to control the world, the economic system of the world, and therefore, by default, the governments of the world. And eventually, it was going to be all controlled out of the Bank of International Settlements, which in turn is basically controlled by the U.S. Federal Reserve and the Bank of England. What did we just pass? a month and a half ago, the Financial Reform Act that basically gave control over our economy to the U.S. Federal Reserve and, by default, the Bank of International Settlement.
And what people don't understand is the Federal Reserve is not a branch of government. It is a privately owned bank owned by the major bankers. And there's J.P. Morgan Chase, and there's Citigroup, and there's Bank of America, and there's Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley. They're the ones who have the major control over the Fed. Oh, a lot of the banks have certain, they belong to the Fed, but they are not the controlling interest in the Fed. And there, the Fed controls the government, and the banks control the Fed. But nobody's going to tell you that. You're supposed to think that the Federal Reserve is a branch of government. It is not. It is a privately owned bank, and owned by the bankers. And, of course, behind them, of course, are the powerful spiritual forces, which everybody has missed. Most people write about this, but they don't understand the spiritual forces that energize these wicked, wicked people. But go right ahead.
You're absolutely right, and maybe this would be a good time to do a little segue. I really do believe that this is as much a spiritual battle, if not more of a spiritual battle, than it is the physical battle that we see playing out before our eyes. We have some evil, evil things going on at this particular point in time, being implemented by evil, evil people, as you just implied. But this real serious stuff is, I think, really a warfare against God. There's no other way you can describe some of the things that happen. It's just sometimes it's so bizarre that it has to be rooted in spiritual roots that we're just seeing the physical manifestations of.
I think you're absolutely right, and this is one reason I love to have Michael on, because he's one of the few people who really can identify what this is about, and of course is willing to articulate it. A lot of people are embarrassed talking about the spiritual aspects of what's going on, but if we don't address that, we will not be effective in this battle for the survival of Christian civilization and truly the souls of men. Now, certainly, the book, again, Rescuing a Broken America. We do carry the book. We think it's important. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you have a question for Dr. Kaufman on this subject. But go right ahead, Michael. You were just talking about these people and how they have actually created the financial catastrophe we're facing today. And everybody thinks, oh, it just sort of happened by accident. Why, you know what? Oh, my goodness, you know, remember all that TARP money that they put out there? And there was almost $850 billion, and they were supposed to go to help the people, you know, on Main Street who were losing their homes. And then once but Barney Frank, the homosexual chairman of the House Banking Committee, just forgot to put in the legislation that gave the $850 billion to Henry Paulson. He forgot to put it was supposed to go to the Main Street, so Henry Paulson gave it to his friends on Wall Street. He came from Goldman Sachs, former chairman of the Goldman Sachs, and then he gave it to the banks so that they could lend it to people to get the economy going, but he forgot to tell the banks they were supposed to lend it to the people, so American businesses, they lent it to businesses, but the businesses were in China, and the businesses yes. were in India. And the businesses were in Dubai, and the businesses were in Spain, and suddenly they were doing fine. But they refused to lend the money to businesses in America. Why would that have happened? How could Henry Paulson have been that foolish unintentionally? But you go right ahead, Michael.
You're absolutely. He couldn't have been that foolish unintentionally. It had to be done intentionally, and not only that, but Obama made sure that the unions and so forth were well taken care of in this process as well. He was buttering both sides of the bread, as it were. And the new Financial Reform Act that was just passed a few weeks ago basically allows these very same banks to be protected. The U.S. taxpayer bails them out again if, in fact, they fail because of reckless activities or doing whatever they want to do. In other words, they are trying to collapse the system. But we're going to have to bail them out when they do that, because they've got to survive. It doesn't matter if we survive, but they've got to survive. And it is so full of stench of corruption that is just mind-boggling, Stan. It's just mind-boggling. And yet nobody sees it. I just cannot believe that they cannot see it. I explained it in the book. The mainstream media, of course, is complicit in this, and they'll never tell you the truth. Fox News is is really left of center, although they do a much better job than any of the other mainstream media. You will find some of this on the Internet, but you have to be careful of what you also find on the Internet, because not all of it's verifiable. And we need, one of the things that we cannot afford to do is to put out something that is wrong, that's probably put, is probably there's a name for it, but where somebody tried to put something into effect that really isn't true just to discredit you, and we can't afford to be discredited at this point.
I agree with you, and basically, of course, a lot of people are going to tell you, well, oh, we have these bankers, that's the Jewish bankers. It's not a Jewish conspiracy. This whole thing is a spiritual conspiracy, and they've actually published something called the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion to throw people off the track so they wouldn't recognize what was really going on, and they'd blame the Jewish people for what's going on. They have nothing at all to do with this, and there may be Jewish bankers, but there are an awful lot of Gentile bankers as well, joined together by a common hatred of humanity. It has nothing to do with race. It has everything to do with spiritual orientation. And once you begin to understand that, and then, of course, you read the protocols, with that thought in mind, there was a clever forgery intent upon one thing, and that was taking people away from a realization of what was really going on. Keep them from understanding that we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men. Well, anyway, Chris, Michael, what can people do at this stage?
Well, one of the things, that there are several things that we can do actively at this point, and that's what the last third of the book is about. First of all, we have to take back and put people in that have good morals into office at every level of government, at your local level of government, at your state level of government, and at the federal level of government. We have to throw the rascals out of office. There is no question about it. I do not want to see a single progressive left in office after 2012. I hope we just clean house. These people are insane. In fact, there's been books written on it, that the fact that they, you know, if you looked at what's happened in the last year and a half and you say it's irrational, well, it is. It's very irrational. Even when you consider that there's this effort to collapse the system and so forth behind the whole thing, the fact is that there is a huge holes in what they're trying to do. Even to collapse the system, there's huge holes in what they're trying to do. And the basic reason why, and I talk about this in the book, a psychiatrist by the name of Rossiter has studied this issue for 40 years, and he basically says that these people are affected with a psychopathological problem. They cannot think rationally. They cannot literally think rationally. And as a consequence, you come up with these harebrained ideas that are passed in legislation that are extremely expensive. They don't work. And as a consequence, it just aids in the process. Now, you can say, well, maybe they're doing that deliberately. They probably are in some cases. But in some cases, they really think they're doing the right thing. And, boy, I'm telling you, they just don't have a clue as to what reality is. They live in the Twilight Zone. And we need to get them out of office. Now, if we're successful in doing that, then we need to really support the whole concept of states' rights, because it was the states that created the federal government, not the other way around. And when the states created the federal government, they created it so that the states would be sovereign over the federal government, and they're losing that. They're recognizing it. This is what the whole Arizona case is all about. The whole Arizona case is being formulated by the federal government to destroy states' rights. That's the whole reason behind it. And we need to stop that. I'm just glad this past week that 12 other states have joined Arizona in the lawsuit. And it could very well be that there's another half a dozen or so that could join us here in the next week or two. And we'd have over half the states involved in this at this point that really would start to solidify the whole concept of the 10th Amendment. But there is yet another opportunity that it's not in the book because I hadn't realized it at the time, that Thomas Jefferson and the first, oh, say, 50 years of our republic basically established the concept of nullification. Now, what is nullification? You've probably never heard of it. But the concept of nullification is the fact that the states, because they created the federal government's inferior to the states. If the federal government passes an unconstitutional law, the states have the right, without going to the Supreme Court or anything else, to say, no, we're not going to obey that law.
And
we have...
I think it's so important that people understand that we are a nation of laws. We elect our representatives. We send them to Washington, D.C. They voted for the immigration laws. The Obama administration, which, of course, is an extension of the financial elite, doesn't want that. They want a multicultural, multilingual society. They want to change America. They want, of course, the illegal immigrants to come in because they'll lower the living standards of the average American. They'll drive the wages down. This is a means, of course, of impoverishing our people. They know what they're doing. They don't have the right to do it. They're violating the laws. Till the American people understand that the reason they don't enforce the immigration laws is because they hate America and our sovereignty. Once you understand that, it all makes sense. Michael, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
The last thing that I discussed beyond nullification, which is a subject of its own, is the whole concept of what's called coordination. I don't have time to get into it.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
In Texas, they wanted to put in the transit North American highway, and basically they spent $80 billion acquiring the land rights and $80 billion invested in, and one small community and two school boards, using the coordination process, blocked the North American highway. Well, of course, I tell them, you can get the book called Rescuing a Broken America by calling 1-800-544-8927. And most books we have, you know, they tell us the problem. And they tell us what's wrong with this, that, or the other thing. But they don't go into the powerful economic forces, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, and Dr. Michael Kaufman has done that. This is a book well worthwhile getting and well worthwhile reading and well worthwhile sharing with others. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Now, this is the time when I really need to remind our listeners that we are having our all-day conference on October 17th, and if you'd hope you'd like to come, we're bringing in speakers from across America. Paul Williams will be here, Dr. David Ayoub will be here, Sheriff Mack will be here, of course, Michael Shaw will be talking on ICLEI and the sustainable development, and incidentally, they lay out all their plans in three documents. One is called the Earth Charter. You can get it off the Internet, or you can and get it from us if you request it, get something else. And then, of course, there's the Agenda 21 put out by the United Nations, and we have we carry both the United Nations Agenda 21 and the Santa Cruz Agenda 21. You must understand this is the master plan to get you out of your car, to get you to cut back on electricity, to lower our living standards, and then the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report, and you can get the summary of that in our Sustainable Development Syllabus. Sustainable Development Syllabus, so it's the Earth Charter, the Agenda 21, and of course the Global Biodiversity Assessment. It's 1,152 pages, but you can get the summary in our Sustainable Development Syllabus. You must get this information. You must help us get this out across America. Because if we lose America, and ladies and gentlemen, they're going to take us into an economic collapse. They're probably going to take us into a major war. And once the war is on, why, of course, they're going to silence any dissent. This is what they always do. And, of course, they can keep people from speaking out. And when our boys are over there fighting and dying for freedom, ladies and gentlemen, all of these wars are contrived. And the coming war is as contrived as Vietnam was. The Gulf of Tonkin incident did not occur. And 58,000 brave and courageous and patriotic American boys gave their lives, and probably hundreds of thousands more were permanently wounded and damaged for life for absolutely nothing. It was all a fraud. When you understand the degree of the evil that's involved and the people who are involved, were both Robert McNamara and Henry Kissinger, both of them, at least according to an article we have in West Magazine, involved in the occult. And when you begin to understand that, they were attending, according to West Magazine, the meetings there at the occult center at La Boca Grande in Colorado. We're dealing with evil and wicked people, and you've got to help us get the information out. If you haven't read Brotherhood of Darkness or seen the DVD, you need to do it. And if you can't afford it, you can watch it for nothing on my website. We want you to get the information to understand what we're up against. And then, of course, then we, Chris, hope that many of you out there will certainly want to come to our October 17th conference, and you have to call and make reservations because, of course, we are serving lunch. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. You'll certainly want to get the DVD on the Surveillance Society and how they are watching you. Catherine Albeck put this one out. We have her book on the spy chips. We have a four-tape set on spy chips. We have a four-DVD set put out by our good friend Pastor Billy Crone on RFID technology. You need to get this information, and your job is to help us reach others while there's time. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders and for our ministers. We ask you to pray for revival because this is a spiritual battle. But please pray for Radio Liberty. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Tom Elias. Now, those of you who listen to our programs have heard us interview Tom Elias many times on a book he wrote about the Brzezinski breakthrough and this tragic story of this doctor, Polish doctor, Stanislaw Brzezinski, who had actually come up with an effective treatment for cancer, works on 65% of cancer, very effective on childhood brain tumors, and of course we're creating so many of them by the poisons that we're giving to our children. But basically, Dr. Brzezinski, the government wanted to send him to prison for 300 years because he had come up with an effective treatment for cancer. Of course, that wasn't the reason that they gave. Oh, no, the reason they wanted him sent to prison for 300 years was because he actually shipped a product which was legal to use in Texas, but it was shipped it across state boundaries, and that's why we had to send him to jail for 300 years, so he couldn't treat his patients anymore, so they would all die. But we were doing this because he had done a terrible thing. He'd shipped his products across state boundaries illegally. Well, of course, it turned out that after two trials, something $60 million, why, of course, the government lost the cases. But it's a fascinating story, and it's a heartrending story when you think of all the people who've died of cancer, and they've died unnecessarily. And this is the great tragedy that this sort of thing really goes on in America today. But certainly we have a four-tape set of my interviews with Dr. Brzezinski and Tom Elias, and of course with a retired Green Beret colonel of Special Forces, and the story about his little boy, Tommy Navarro, who the government killed. They would not allow him to have the treatment. They wanted to irradiate his brain and destroy his brain because irradiation destroys 25% of the intelligence, and they intentionally wanted, of course, to irradiate him, and of course they did. And Thomas Navarro, pardon me, Colonel Navarro, actually had to hide in his own country from the government officials who wanted to destroy his son's life. Well, they eventually killed the little boy. Yeah, the government did it. They knew what they were doing. You're dealing with evil and wicked people. But fortunately, why, of course, the product now is available. It is effective in many cancers. And certainly, what it does, of course, is turns on the P53 anti-tumor gene, and then the body begins to produce certain proteins that mobilize the immune system, and they take care of the cancer. And people are cured and have lived 15, 20 years who had been sent home to die by their doctors. But this evening, we're going to be talking with Tom on a different subject, because he is a political commentator, and he writes articles that are read all across the country, and we're going to talk about California. Now, I suspect that Tom and I will disagree on perhaps on his impression of the Republican candidate for governor, but remember, as California goes, so goes America. I mean, here, California, if it were an independent nation, would be the eighth largest economy in the world. We're certainly the largest state economy in the entire nation. We today are bankrupt. We owe $500 billion in pensions funds, and there's no way we're ever going to be able to pay the money off that we're obligated to pay. We own $60 or $80 billion in bonds. We don't even have the money to pay the interest in it. We've got a debt this year, they acknowledge, is of $20 billion, and some people think it's as much as $40 billion when you take into account all of the other things that are owed and certainly the bills that are going to come due if the Supreme Court finds that the furloughing the workers has been illegal. There are actually charges for about $6 billion against the state for illegal laying off of workers. We don't know how that's going to turn out. But anyway, California as a state is in real trouble. They will admit we have about 12.4% unemployment. But, tonight we're going to talk to Tom about what's going on in the state of California, what his thoughts are. Hi, Tom Elias. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Dr. Stan. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Well, why don't you pick up the story and tell us what you think? Because I think California's in real trouble. What about you?
Well, I think we're in some financial trouble. I think the level of trouble is overrated because this is a political year and people tend to use things like that for their political advantage. I think we're really suffering from having had an amateur governor for the last 7 years and from having had, for the 5 years prior to that, a governor who was pretty corrupt. In fact, it was one of my columns that led to his recall, quite directly. There was very direct corruption under Governor Gray Davis. Essentially, public policy at that point was being sold in exchange for campaign donations. And there were instance after instance of that.
But doesn't this happen all across America, that if you donate to a politician and, you don't just give money because you like the way he parts his hair?
Well, let me tell you a little story, and you'll get the idea of how extreme this was here. There's an area, there's a highway between Napa and Vallejo, which has been for a long time a very notorious blood alley. There's a lot of head-on collisions. Visibility is often limited because of fog. And the folks around Napa became, over a period of years, really quite concerned about this. And they actually they went to Sacramento many times to try and lobby for that highway to get a divider built down the middle of it and become a little wider, because there's plenty of right-of-way there. It wouldn't have cost the state all that much. But nothing ever happened. And finally, they hired a lobbyist. And I'm talking about the Chamber of Commerce in the city of Napa hired a lobbyist. And the lobbyist came back and told them, after he'd been employed by them for about a month, he came back and said, here's the deal. You'll get the divider if Davis gets X number of dollars for his campaign. And that's the ultimate in selling public policy when human lives are involved. And that's how direct things were.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our guest this evening, Tom Elias. And Tom is simply saying that California is in trouble. He doesn't think they're in bad trouble, as many people do. He thinks that we had an amateur governor for 7 years in the form of Arnold Schwarzenegger, and before him, we had Gray Davis, who was totally corrupt. And basically, Tom was saying that one reason that Governor Davis was impeached or was actually recalled was because of one of his articles, and that dealt with a road that runs from Napa to Vallejo, and it was a very, very poor road, and a lot of injuries there. It was narrow, didn't have a divider on it, and of course, the people of Napa wanted that road improved. They hired a lobbyist. He went to Sacramento, came back, and said, look, you'll get the road and you'll get the divider if you give a certain number of dollars to Gray Davis for his campaign for re-election. Well, that is, of course, that's pretty blatant. I mean, we got a lot of corruption, but that's pretty beyond the pale. So go ahead with the story there, Tom.
Sure, Dr. Stan. Well, then, after that we had 7 years of amateur government. Once again, we had pandering to interest groups. For instance, among the very first groups to back Arnold Schwarzenegger for governor during the recall campaign were the car dealers, the Car Dealers Association in California. Now, why did they back Governor Schwarzenegger? Well, they backed him because one of Governor Schwarzenegger's first first pledges was to cut back the car tax, a big increase that had just been assessed in the
licensing fee for cars, right?
Right, and in the license, license plate fees. Now, I don't know how much detail we want to get into here, but essentially, when there was a surplus in the late 1990s, the car tax was cut back. But the law that cut back the car tax specifically said that if the state ran out of money, the governor would have the power to restore this cut in the car tax. In bring it back to its prior levels. And Davis did that when the state ran out of money, and that, of course, was used against him in the recall campaign, and Schwarzenegger pledged to restore those prior cuts. Well, that has cost the state $4.5 billion a year for the last 7 years. That's $30 billion. Right there, you've got time and a half what the current deficit is. And that's basically one stupid decision by an amateur governor who was pandering to one of his supporters. Now, I've documented many, many other instances of Schwarzenegger's similar corruption to his campaign donors, very similar to Gray Davis's. Whatever they want, they get if they pay enough. And the difference between Gray Davis and Arnold Schwarzenegger is basically production values. Whenever Arnold goes anyplace, the lighting is perfect. Whenever Gray Davis went anywhere, you could barely see him if you were watching television. But Schwarzenegger's a movie guy. He knows how to do lighting. And so he does it. So, and he does what he does with a much bigger smile than Gray Davis ever did. And so, even though he's taken in far more money in this manner than Davis ever did, well, the policies, he hasn't gotten in the same kind of trouble that Davis did for it. But the sale of public policy has continued. And, so there is hope that either Jerry Brown or Meg Whitman, who are the two candidates for governor right now, and they're running about even in the polls, there is hope that we might at least see some change there. Although you'll notice that the two candidates, the two campaigns, are accusing each other of pandering to their supporters. The Whitman campaign notes that organized labor has given a lot of money to Jerry Brown, and they claim that therefore he's going to give them back good contracts.
Well, don't you think that that is absolutely what's happened? One reason the trouble in the state of California with the massive pensions we have for government employees is because the unions gave money to the politicians, who then in return gave everybody tremendous salaries and benefits and pensions.
That's very true. That has happened, but Jerry Brown has a record as a governor. Remember, he was governor for 8 years in the 1970s and early 1980s, and he has a mixed bag of a record when it comes to labor unions as governor, and he's also got a pretty strong record when it comes to labor unions and negotiating with them during the 8 years that he was mayor of Oakland, the two situations where he ever had to deal with labor unions in the past. What happened when he was governor was that Brown signed a bill that gave public employees the right to negotiate. And
they never had that before, and of course, once they can negotiate, they can basically begin to elect, the politicians who will give them whatever they want.
Who will negotiate with them, and that's why you have a prison guards union that has negotiated astronomical pay for its members. That's why you have a lot of local governments where the police and fire unions have negotiated astronomical pensions for their people. There's no question that that has had an effect. But when he was governor, you have to also remember, Jerry Brown vetoed three pay raises for public employees in the state. He vetoed bills that the legislature had passed to do that. When he was mayor of Oakland, he had very tough negotiations with the city worker unions there. And nobody, they just didn't run over him. I'd also say this. Having known and covered Jerry Brown when he was governor before, many years ago, I'll tell you, he's a changed man. He's just not the same individual. He used to be a very contemptuous man who, if you asked him a question that he thought was kind of an obvious question, and why are you asking me this stupid question? He would become extremely contemptuous. But that arrogance is gone, and I wonder if it was beaten out of him. He lost an election in 1982 when he ran for the U.S. Senate. He also may have learned a little during the year that he worked with Mother Teresa in India, when he basically took a pledge of poverty for that year and lived with Mother Teresa. And the conditions in Calcutta, pretty abysmal. And when I deal with him now, it's not like dealing with the same guy. I mean, it's He was 36 when he became governor the first time. He's 72 now. He's twice as old as he was then. Exactly twice as old. So, you know, it's a little bit unfair to expect him to treat him and to charge that he will behave exactly the same today as he did when he was 36 years old. I mean, I certainly don't behave exactly the same way I did 30 years ago, and I doubt you do, Dr. Stanton.
No, but here's the liberal Democrat, in contrast to, I don't know what Whitman is, but at least we know of Senator Jerry Brown's background.
Well, you know, it's hard to pigeonhole Brown as a liberal Democrat. For instance, back in 1975, if you want to allude to this kind of thing, his first year as governor, the last time, he gave a speech one time in San Diego that I happened to cover, and at that time, the issue of raises for college professors at the California State University and the University of California was on the table, and Brown was adamantly opposed to giving them raises at that point, and he uttered the famous line that these people don't need more pay. They have psychic rewards for their work. What do they need money for? They have psychic rewards. He literally said that. And so, you know, that's not exactly the stock liberal stance when it comes to pay for professors, is it, Dr.?
No, in fact, I think that most of our college professors, I hate to say it, but certainly those in the university system here have really ripped off the system. I mean, we had that woman up here, you know, who is the chancellor of the University of California in Santa Cruz. She was making a couple of $100,000 a year. She brought in her lesbian lover, and she was getting $125,000. I mean, they were really ripping off the system.
Well, you can point to individuals where that's true, but I think if California wants to have the world-class university system that it does and wants to have the top-quality faculty, it has to pay as much as a Harvard or a Brown or a Stanford or a University of Texas or University of Michigan, because the University of California competes for those people.
Well, you may think that we have a great system, but I'm a graduate of the University of California, and I will tell you they don't educate, they indoctrinate. And here at UCSC, you know, here in Santa Cruz, why, they make a point to destroy the religious faith of the people who go there. They indoctrinate them in liberalism. These kids come out raving liberals. You may have one conservative in the entire graduating class.
Well,
I mean, basically, this is not education. This is indoctrination in the radical left. Now, admittedly, they have some good scientists. I'm sure they do, and I got a good medical education, but I was still indoctrinated, and they destroyed my religious faith intentionally and purposely when I went to college, and I really believe, of course, that these people are not interested in facts and science. I believe many of them are interested in political philosophy. If you are a scientist at the University of California, any place in this state, and you were to question, you know, such things as, well, maybe there is intelligent design, they would target you. We do not have honesty in our universities. I think that we're turning out an awful lot of people who are educated in things that really are not very good. They have lots of psychology degrees. What do you do with it? In China, 40% of the kids graduate in science, certainly in mathematics. They're about 1 or 2% at the most. Engineering, they great engineering there, but we are not stressing engineering or science. We're stressing liberal arts and things of that sort. And a lot of the people get out, they can't even make a living with what they earned.
That's true of some. But, Dr. Stan, the same studies, the same comparisons that show that the Chinese and the Japanese are ahead of us in science education, engineering education, also show that we're way ahead of them in creativity. And you will find that there haven't been too many important inventions to come out of China and Japan. Been a lot of good imitations, but the ideas have almost always come from America.
Yeah, but an awful lot of them are coming from Chinese or Indians are coming over there, and they're bringing in the Chinese and the Indians, and they're coming up with some great ideas. There's a fellow over in San Jose who's come up with a boombox, which will make very well replace the conventional means of producing electricity. He's from India.
That's what the immigrants contribute and always have.
Right.
When people are bright enough and have the gumption to get up and leave a bad situation.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back with our friend Tom Elias. You go right ahead, Tom.
Okay, what I was saying is,
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
And Ronnie Towles, and he feels that the people who are putting up the money to try to prevent the cap and trade concept, is this really a cap and trade? Is this one of these ideas where you can pollute as much as you want to as long as you buy the energy credits?
Well, Dr. Stan, it's not quite like that. First of all, one of the benefits of a cap and trade system is that the newer, smaller companies that have newer equipment, they have a certain quota of emissions that they can put out, and because they tend to have newer equipment, the newer companies do, they don't put out anywhere near what their quota is in terms of pollutants, and so older companies like oil refineries that use older equipment that dates often from the 30s, 40s, and 50s, These people, under a cap-and-trade system, can go and buy some of those pollution credits from the companies that are not emitting as much as they want, and as they can. And that becomes, then, a commodity.
No, there's basically, you can pollute all you want to as long as you put the money as
right,
that. How is that going to cut back on pollution, then?
Well, here's how it works, though. Oh. You see, because each year the quotas get less. Each year, each type of company, whatever type of company you are, whatever you produce, your quota for pollution drops somewhat. It drops by 10% a year, approximately, under the system that's considered planned for California. And so eventually, you're going to have to cut back to levels of the same levels we had in 1990.
Well, then how will we be able to generate electricity here?
Well, we're going to have more wind power. We're going to have more solar.
Oh, but isn't that a lot more expensive?
No, I don't really think so. It costs a lot of money to build an electric plant now.
Well, that's only because the environmental movement makes it so difficult. The government makes it so difficult. I mean, they will run the price up to 10 times what it ought to be to build a power plant because they really want to cut back on the energy consumption. Don't you think that's one of the major agendas behind all of this, to cut back on the use of electricity and to cut back on energy consumption?
I don't think the idea is to cut back on energy consumption, Doug. Understand. I think the idea is to cut back on the use of foreign oil and make us a little more energy independent. And if we do that with solar, if we do that with wind, that's fine. And again, that's being done all over Europe. You know how much more you pay for a gallon of gasoline or a quart of oil in Europe than you do in this country? And you buy it by the liter there. And the price is approximately $2.50 a liter, which works out to about $6 a gallon.
But they'd like to do that exactly here because they want to get people out of their cars. I mean, that's what it's really all about.
Well,
get people out of their cars.
Some of them want to get people out of their cars, but I'm telling you, the electric stuff, if you have electric cars, nobody wants to get you out of that.
Well, they do because they're going to drive the price of electricity up. In fact, they'll even admit the reason for the smart meters is so that basically, they'll be able to cut back on energy consumption. That's what it's all about, cut back on energy consumption. And won't that damage our industries as we force them to cut back on energy consumption? What's going to happen to manufacturers that are energy dependent?
Well, what's going to happen is they're going to have to become more efficient. They're going to have, and the energy supplies are going to have to come from these renewable sources. And that's increasingly happening. There was a solar plant open just the other day that produces 930 megawatts, which is enough. This was opened near Boron in the Mojave Desert, and it's on the grid right now, and it produces enough power for approximately 130,000 homes.
What about at nighttime?
What about at nighttime? Well, the way these solar power plants work is the power that's produced goes into these giant batteries, and the batteries power you through the hours where you don't have sunshine. It's a system that works with boiling water and so on through the solar panels, and they produce energy, and the energy then is stored until you need it. And if you put a solar system in your house, the big batteries are part of that system. Believe me, you don't get solar panels that work 24 hours a day generating electricity because it's dark half the time.
Well, I know that's why most people who have solar panels are actually on the grid, and at nighttime they get their electricity that way. Avery could be back in just a moment. Well, let's get back to Meg Whitman. Let's get back to the governors. Basically, of course, we have Jerry Brown, we have Meg Whitman, and I really believe it's going to make a great deal of difference who gets becomes the next governor. I'd like your thoughts on that. We'll be right back in just a moment with Tom Elias, right here at Radio Liberty.
Her conscience allows them to do that. It does exempt religious employers from the requirements of that section, but then limits that definition of what a religious employer is to the inculcation of religious values. So, for example...
Well, you go right ahead there. We got the wrong tape in there, but you go right ahead.
Well, all right, Dr. Stan. You got me chuckling over that.
I didn't mean to do that. Anyway, I wanted to play God Bless America, and instead I got my good friend John Leffler. Go ahead.
You know what I've frequently said about this governor's race? To me, this is one of the more frustrating governor's races I've ever covered, and I've been covering California politics at the gubernatorial level since about 1968. So that's about 42 years I've been at this, and that's longer than anybody else in California, by the way. And what I found in this race is you have one candidate that, in my opinion, has very little to offer, and another candidate who has offered very little. By which I mean, when you boil down the plans of Meg Whitman for restoring the economy of California to prosperity, she's offering very, very little. She's basically saying, we're going to cut out the capital gains tax, we're going to reduce regulations, and we're going to cut income taxes. Well, first of all, she can't do that on her own. She needs all these Democratic votes in the legislature to be able to do that, and they're not going to do it for her, especially since she's running around campaigning for a part-time legislature. You're not going to make very many friends in the legislature if you want to take their jobs away.
But don't you think that we'd be better off with a part-time legislature? Don't you think we'd be better off with a lot less legislation? Don't you think we'd be better off if we were cutting back our taxes rather than wanting to increase the taxes? Is this going to get more wealthy, productive people here in California? Or is the tax situation going to drive them away?
Well, let's talk about that if you want in a minute. But first let me talk about what our proposals would mean. What her proposal for reducing the capital gains or cutting it out completely would mean is $5 billion a year less in the California budget. Now, I don't know how that's going to solve the budget deficit. Even if her premise that the people who benefit to the extent of $5 billion a year will turn around and invest that money immediately in new jobs, and that's never happened where you've had trickle-down economics ruling. That's never happened once in the history of the world. But even if it did happen, it would take years before it happened, and we'd pile up even bigger deficits because you'd have, you know, a reduced tax base. You'd have reduced tax revenues, and then you'd get cuts.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Tom Elias. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Tom is simply talking about Meg Whitman's basic concept. What she wants to do, she wants to have a part-time legislator. These people aren't meeting all the time up there in Sacramento, passing new laws all the time. And then she wants, of course, to cut the capital gains tax. She wants to cut the income tax. She wants to certainly limit the regulations put on people. And, of course, Tom is just saying that she's going to have difficulty doing this. I mean, would you think the legislature up in Sacramento have got these great jobs up there? They just love being up there and being able to give speeches and all. Do you really think they're going to want to become a part-time legislature and cut their income? And then, of course, where's the money going to come from if she cuts capital gains tax? If she cuts taxes here, why, it may be years before, of course, we'll have more income. And what are we going to do for all this government spending in the meantime? Go right ahead, Tom.
Well, when you talk about government spending, you know, Dr. Stan, you're talking about police, you're talking about firemen, you're talking about highways.
I thought those were primarily funded locally, but don't the local states, communities fund their police and fund their firemen and most? Isn't a lot of the funding coming from local communities?
No, they used to before Proposition 13. But since Proposition 13, the cities and the school districts and the counties have gotten big subsidies from the state every year. And whenever the state tries to cut those subsidies a little bit, they're accused of pirating money from the cities. Well, of course, it is state money. And
it's the people's money. If the state takes it, they want to use it for their purposes.
It's kind of like one of these games with the thimbles, you know, a shell game. Which thimble are you hiding the money under? Yes, it is kind of like that because it all comes from all of our pockets. But we have this illusion in California that we're overtaxed because we do have one of the higher state income taxes. You go next door to Nevada, where the unemployment rate is actually 3% higher than in California, by the way. They don't have a state income tax. But do you want to live there where it's where the unemployment is at 14.5%? I don't know.
Well, I don't want to live where the unemployment is 12.5% or 12.3%. I mean,
right.
I don't want to. I'd like to get the unemployment down, and how are we going to get it down?
Dr. Stan, how's your property tax? Your property tax is the lowest in the United States.
Absolutely.
And that's why your overall tax burden is actually in the lower half of the state. It's not one of the highest tax burdens. But when the Chamber of Commerce talks about it, they're interested in cutting corporate taxes because that's who their members are. That's where their bread and butter is. That's, you know, so they're going to complain about income taxes, whereas if you really want to be honest about taxes, you have to look at the overall burden that people have to pay. And in California, it's a pretty middling burden. It's not that bad. So there is, you know, most of us, I could afford to pay more taxes. You could probably afford to pay more taxes.
Well, do you think that then what we really need to do would be to raise taxes and then... How about cutting back on the number of people employed by the state?
Meg wants to cut back 40,000 people. She doesn't tell you who. Will they be highway engineers? Will they be the people that drive those orange Caltrans trucks and fix the roads? Will they be prison guards? If you're going to cut back the prison guards, you're going to have to release prisoners. Will they be school teachers? Well, then we're going to have 60 kids per school, per class, in the elementary schools. You know, for every one of these cuts that you talk about, there's a consequence. It reminds me of the old saying about traditions, Dr. Stan, you know? There's the old saying that, you know, every time you want to cut out a tradition, you learn why it became a tradition in the first place. You find out the consequences. There are always consequences.
Well, do you think that state employees should make a 1.5 to 2 times as much in salary as the people who are paying their salaries? Do you think
they don't. Where did you get that figure?
No, very simply, that we've read this many times, that government employees get a great deal. They get almost twice as much, and certainly they get far better pensions and retirement than the people who are paying their salaries.
Tell that to the janitors down at the state building.
Well, what about the people working in Sacramento? You may be able to find a janitor's not getting that much, but there are an awful lot of state employees who are getting very high salaries.
There are some, and they tend to be the people that our present governor has appointed, for one.
Well, wait a minute,
someone that makes under $85,000 a year.
I mean, it all started with Arnold. You mean that did not
no,
take
it
place? It not did take place under Gray Davis as well?
Well, let's put it this way. Arnold said he'd come in there and cut the workforce and break up boxes was his slogan, you remember, in 2003?
Yeah, and he tried it, and he was just thwarted at every turn. And then
state government has got 20,000 more employees today than when Arnold became governor. So Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has been a hypocrite and an amateur.
Okay.
There's no question about that.
But doesn't every governor increase, and certainly we know the great governor, Gray Davis, really increased state employees.
The workforce increased by about the same amount under him.
Right.
But you don't measure state employees. There's a misconception here. You don't measure state employees by the strict number of employees. You measure it by their proportion to the population of the state. For instance, the state of Nevada doesn't need anywhere near as many employees as California because it doesn't serve as many people. And the state of New York has half as many people as California, so you'd think it would have half as many employees, but it doesn't. It has three-quarters as many. The question is, when you talk about firing 40,000 state workers, what do you shut down? Now, that's a question Brown has been asking, and he has said, he told me in an interview that I did with him 3 days ago, by the way, that he's going to, if he's elected governor, he will present, by next March, he will have developed 3 alternate budget plans. That will be his goal. And each one of these will cut out different programs, because he knows that we have this money problem here. We have a cash shortage in California for the government. And so he will let the people choose. He'll call a special election and let the people choose which programs will be cut out. Or they'll have the alternative of raising taxes to keep those programs going. But it's going to be on the voters. It's not going to be on the politicians. That's what Brown wants to do. And I personally think that's a pretty good idea. If you inform the people of what's going to be cut if you fire X number of people, and, you know, if you tell them this, then you let them decide what their priorities are. Now, some people call that ballot box budgeting. I don't mind ballot box budgeting. I say the people, you know, let the people make their choices.
Well, I personally believe that we ought to do something about illegal immigration. It costs about $10 billion in California for illegal immigration. And neither Governor Gray Davis nor certainly Arnold Schwarzenegger would try to implement Proposition 187, which was passed overwhelmingly here in the state of California and then negated by one judge who said, we don't care what the people want. This is it. And, of course, it should have been appealed.
It's far too late to appeal it now.
Why? But you see,
the legal deadlines are long past.
But Gray Davis refused to do it. He refused to do what the people wanted because he wanted the illegal immigration. And when Arnold came in, he could have appealed it, and he refused to do it too.
Davis actually ran on that platform, and he was elected to oppose Proposition 187, and he did.
Well, maybe he did, but once it was enacted, it was the law of the state of California. It is still the law of the state of California, even though it's not been enforced.
Well,
and Arnold Schwarzenegger could have appealed it, and he refused to.
Actually, he couldn't have. It was already past the deadlines to do that. In order to bring up Proposition 187 again, you're going to have to run another proposition that's worded slightly differently, that's the only way you're going to get it back before the courts again. Plain and simple.
Well, you see, it really doesn't matter what the people want. There is an agenda, whether it was Gray Davis or whether it was Arnold Schwarzenegger. They both support illegal immigration, despite the fact that people don't want it. See, they seem to have a different worldview. I wonder what it is.
Well, I'll tell you what it is. I'll tell you two things about what it is. First of all, we need the illegal immigrants. There was a time a year and a half ago, and I'm a part owner of a newspaper in Madera County, so I'm very familiar with the agriculture industry out there. Madera being a town that's 20 miles north of Fresno, and agriculture is our biggest industry in Madera County, where the newspaper that I partly own is. There was a time a year and a half ago when crops were rotting on the trees. I'm talking about peaches, nectarines. They were rotting on the trees in the summer of 2009 because there was not enough workers to pick them. Because at the border, they were stopping illegals. And under Barack Obama, by the way, the immigration across the border is at 35% what it was under George Bush at its peak. The immigration has been cut. And the fact is, When the growers didn't have the illegal workers, they couldn't find Americans who wanted to pick this fruit.
Well, why didn't we simply reinstitute the Becerra program? It worked great for 20 or 30 years.
They canceled it
because they didn't want a solution. They wanted the problem.
What do you think most of today's illegals are, and what do you think most of the people who were legalized in the 1986 amnesty that Ronald Reagan signed, what do you think those people came from? They came from the Becerra program.
Right.
That's right.
But
what the Becerra program does, and one of the reasons it has trouble passing Congress now, is the Becerra program invites the immigrants to come in legally and then overstay the legal limit and become illegal immigrants.
No, basically, the Becerra program was designed. They would come in and they would go back again. Now,
yeah,
maybe
they
did
don't.
Overstay, but it was not designed for them to overstay.
But they don't. There was never any enforcement of that, Dr. Stan, and there's no mechanism to enforce it now.
But you see, they could have enforced it. We are not trying to enforce it. They wanted this problem because
they
wanted a multicultural, multilingual society.
But here's the thing. No, who's they in this instance? I don't think the people that instituted the Becerra program, which started in World War II, by the way,
right,
to replace American workers who had gone off to war, I don't think that the people that instituted that during World War II wanted a multilingual society.
No, but Teddy Kennedy they did away with it in 1966 when they changed our immigration laws,
right.
And Ted Kennedy wanted a multicultural, multilingual society, and he lied to the American people saying this will not change the demographics of our society, knowing full well that it would in 1986.
What, they getting rid of the Bracero program?
Absolutely.
Actually, the Bracero program has done more to make the country bilingual than anything else, because so many of the Braceros stayed. The great majority of the people legalized after the 86 immigration reform and amnesty, those people were, for the most part, former Braceros.
Maybe they were, but of course they lied to us about them at that time. Ronald Reagan told us there were only a million of them, and we would never have another amnesty, that Ronald Reagan would enforce the immigration laws. Right. He promised the American people, and he lied. There were actually almost 3 million, 2.5 million illegal immigrants.
You're basically saying that regardless of party, Dr. Stan, that all these politicians lie to us. Who's going to argue with that?
You see, Tom, you're probably a Democrat. I'm a Republican. But I think that both parties are led by corrupt and evil people who have a different agenda, who really want a multicultural, multilingual society and want to change America. And that's what illegal immigration is being used it for. But let's get back to our governors, because I think it's so important that we evaluate... Meg Whitman, what about her ideas? Are her ideas good? If she could get them through, would we have a better society if we cut back on a lot of the government employees?
Well, there's no proof that we would, and there's no proof that we wouldn't. Basically, what she proposes to do is cut 40,000 employees, as I said, which is going to mean getting rid of an awful lot of programs or cutting a lot of programs back, but she doesn't tell us which ones. And so we don't know what the consequences would be of that. The other guy also doesn't tell us exactly what he's going to do, but he says he's going to do a few things. He's going to cut back various programs, and he's going to let us choose which programs to cut back. So that's why I say one of these candidates offers us very little, and the other has also done very little, has also put very little forward. We don't really know much about what either of these people would do as governor, and that's very frustrating to me, and that's why I say it's been one of the more frustrating campaigns I've covered.
Well, you know, one of the most interesting studies is what happened in New Zealand in 1980, when New Zealand, of course, had tremendous debts. Its debt was just overwhelming the country, and a new socialist was elected, and he said, we are going to cut back on government. They had 17,000 employees of the Forestry Division. They ended up with 17. They had about 25,000 social workers.
They ended up with 17 foresters?
17 foresters. They cut dramatically. They cut dramatically of all of the government and employees. And today, New Zealand is one of the few countries that's doing very well, is doing economically better than we are.
I don't know that history as well as you seem to, Dr. Stan, but I'll tell you one thing. I've been to New Zealand. And New Zealand is a lot like California was 120 years ago. New Zealand is almost the exact same size as California, and it's positioned in the southern hemisphere in almost the exact same latitude that California is in the northern hemisphere. So the city of Auckland, for instance, which is in the North Island of New Zealand, is equivalent to, in its weather and its climate, and so on, to Los Angeles. The city of Wellington, which is in the middle of the country, is kind of equivalent to San Francisco in its climate and all. And the difference is that while we have 33 million people in California, maybe 35 million, New Zealand has 4 million. So you have this wide open country with almost everything that California has. It has big mountains, it's got deserts, it's got, beautiful scenery, but it's got only 4 million people. It's got all these wide open spaces. And so they don't need as many government employees as we do. But if you want to, the equivalent of the foresters, for instance, that New Zealand had might be the state park rangers in California. Do you want to get rid of them? Fine.
We cannot afford the amount of government that we have.
Yeah,
we've got to cut back
on.
We've got to cut back on government. We've got to cut back on government, Tom. I believe because we have a debt that we cannot control, and if we raise taxes, why are we going to discourage initiative? And more people are going to leave California.
All I'm saying is that before you cut, be aware, before you cut the employees, be aware of what the changes will mean.
Well, you talked about, you know, why, my goodness, we'd have classes, you have 60 kids in the class. My wife was raised in classes with 50 or 60 kids in the class, and she got a lot better education than most kids are getting here in California today. It is not certainly the size of the classes, what you're teaching. Our kids know far more about sex than they know about Shakespeare. They know far more about pornography than they do about poetry. Our kids are getting a rotten education. I think we've got to do something dramatic, and maybe we need some dramatic changes. Maybe they're not all going to work, but I don't like the way California's going. Do you?
I have mixed feelings about it.
Okay. Well, our guest this evening is a good friend, Tom Lassen. Hang on, Tom. We've got about 3 minutes to go.
Okay.
But Tom and I look at fascinating information that you're not going to hear elsewhere. I'm learning a lot this evening about Meg Whitman and about Jerry Brown. We'll be right back. Tom, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Okay. Well, I don't think we're in nearly as much trouble as some people say. Because, as you said,
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
14 million. Well, he spent $14 million, and certainly he had to come up with a defense. When the government can do that and there's no punishment for corrupt people at the federal level or at the state level, why, of course, I really
care
for my freedom.
And I've written a book about it.
I know you have.
Because one of the things I try and do in my column, and I did it in the book as well, in a much very elongated form of what my column is I try to fight corruption where I see it, and I don't care who the political parties are. That's why you say I'm a Democrat. I say you don't read all my columns if you really think that.
Well, I mean, I think you're more liberal. I think you're more liberal than I am. But
I probably am, but I'll say this much. I'm pretty unpredictable. Ask Gray Davis if I'm a loyal Democrat.
I'm sure. Well, I'm not a loyal Republican either. Anyway, God bless, Tom. I hope we can get you back on again, and we can really carry on some more of these ideas, because you have certainly a great grasp of what's going on. I really appreciate your being with us and putting up, because I just wanted to try to have you bring out the facts.
I know, but you also try and bait me a little bit along the way, Dr. Stanley.
I know.
Love it.
God bless. You did a wonderful job. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stanley. I'll talk to you. Bye-bye.
Okay. My love is Tom Elias, and I really like Tom, and he's does a great job. He's a very intelligent individual. You can get his articles. They're syndicated across the country, and he knows many of these people, and he has certainly a grasp of what's going on. So I hope you enjoyed the program. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is still primarily listener-supported, and we do have this unique opportunity to put information out, but I will tell you that we will not be able to do this indefinitely. There are people who want to restrict the right of people to get the information out. I know that most of the people who actually do what I do have had their organizations infiltrated by government agents or agents of some sort that were there to discredit and destroy them. So many of the people that I've known have had their organizations infiltrated, whether it be, Sidney Pat Matriciano, Media Bypass, Sidney Michael Rupert, Sidney... Charles Key was investigating what happened in Oklahoma City. I could mention many others. I won't do it. But this is the pattern that's going on today. We're moving toward from freedom to fascism because there is an invisible government. And that's why you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to know who these people are and what they have in mind. There really is a ruling elite that makes mockery out of the electoral process. In fact, before Arnold Schwarzenegger was allowed to run for the governor here, why Warren Buffett took him to England to meet Lord Rothschild, and you can actually see the pictures up on the Internet of Arnold and Warren Buffett and Lord Rothschild laughing together at how foolish the people are. But don't think that they don't control the Democrat Party as well. They control both political parties and make mockery out of the electoral process. You need to read Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to watch the DVDs, the Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. There are three videos in that series. And then, of course, you need to watch the DVD, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version of that. We hope you go to our website, RadioLiberty.com. We've got all sorts of great information there. And, of course, we cover everything from where the Ark of the Covenant is, my interviews with Ron Wyatt, to my carrying of Jonathan Gray's excellent new book. It's called Dead Man's Secrets, going into, of course, the information from past civilizations that is little known or understood today. Certainly you'll want to get Pastor Billy Crone's a series on the final countdown, what's happening prophetically, 10 DVDs, his 8 DVD set on the fearful creation, his 4 DVD set on RFID identification. They're all outstanding. They're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Don't forget our all-day conference on the 17th of October. And then please pray for Radio Liberty.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. So happy to have you joining us today. Hope you're up and going, and if not, well, we'll help wake you up at the Power Hour. This is Joyce Riley, and I do appreciate each and every one of you joining us today. It's all about you. It's all about you being able to learn what the heck is going on in this country. If you have awakened to the news that there was somewhat of a veiled threat last night by the imam, well, I think you probably heard right. We'll talk about that, and we will also have William Rodriguez join us at the bottom of the hour. You will recall William Rodriguez was the last man out of the World Trade Center before it collapsed. Pretty much a hero in many audiences, well, except that of the administrations, because of what he did to save people's lives from the tower, but then how he exposed what he knew was taking place at the time. Quite a different story than the 9/11 report. In fact, his testimony was blocked from the 9/11 report. But we will talk to him at 7:30 Central Time. Then at 8 o'clock, we're going to talk to Ty Bollinger. He had such a large number of his family succumb to cancer that he began to ask the question, what is going on? Why is my family dying? He has written a book, and we're going to talk about that with him, but also his findings. It's called Cancer Step Outside the Box. Why and what did he find was going on? I think that's so important. How can all these people be dying of a disease that supposedly, well, there should be an answer for? Maybe there is. We'll talk to him about that. We're going to talk in this first segment, in the next segment, about 50 mind-blowing facts that America, about America, that our founding fathers never would have believed. You probably believe it because you're experiencing it and living it. We'll talk about some of those. I think that's real important that we stay away from the mainstream fray of news, which is, I'll just tell you in a few words, the war's not over. They're continuing to do the exact same thing that they have done before, calling it a different name. The mosque situation is a detracting, dividing maneuver that is continuing in D.C., or continuing in New York, and the Quran burning. That is such a created situation that I think it is so brilliant that they have devised this. I really do. I got to give them credit. That's brilliant. Just brilliant. We're going to talk to William Rodriguez about that and see what the people in New York City are thinking about the Quran burning. Is it a big story? And what was all the fuss about last night on Larry King when the imam finally appeared? And I'll tell you my opinion from that, which, well, I think a lot of people hold. Jim Motika, thank you for sending this, says the U.S. Mint is running out of silver. And excuses. I like his editorial comments. Why is it that they're running out of silver, and what is that going to do to the price of silver? Major story coming from the president yesterday. Taxes are going up. The biggest tax increase ever will take place. That was his message to the world, his veiled message at a meeting in Ohio, sort of his purpose for going to Ohio and giving this program yesterday, of which they had a terrible time trying to get people to attend. They basically were throwing tickets out there, begging people to come to this meeting because the room was not filled up before he was supposed to speak. Well, this comes from a tax attorney in Memphis. We appreciate this information. I'm going to run with it, because I believe it's been vetted by some people. I'm going to run with it. Also, if we have time, more discussion on light blue and orange. Why is it important? And I want to thank Alan for the information on the shortwave car radio. He loves his. And we'll be back after this 3-minute break. Stay tuned to the Power Hour. We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health.
probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today.